Macmillan Audio presents The Beatles from A to Z, an alphabetical mystery tour written and read by Peter Asher. Hi, this is Peter Asher. Being read to is a sublime and particular pleasure. I myself have fond childhood memories of my father reading The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes or Alice in Wonderland to me as I lay in bed, and those books have a special place in my heart to this day. So I am honored and delighted to have been asked to read to you my very first published book, The Beatles from A to Z, which is based on a radio series of the same name, part of From Me to You, my show on Sirius XM. So let us begin. Here is the introduction, which itself begins with a conversation that changed my life. This book is dedicated to Wendy and Victoria, my two favorite Beatle fans. Paul, please lock me away. John, yes, okay, end of song. I grew up in a musical household, so in some ways it's not surprising that I gravitated to the world of music and recordings. My father was an amateur pianist and a committed lover of Gilbert and Sullivan, as well as a distinguished physician. And my mother was oboe professor at the Royal Academy of Music. She had played in various major orchestras and gave oboe lessons at home as well. So as my sisters and I were growing up, there was always music in our house at 57 Wimpole Street, on the corner of New Cavendish Street in central London. By the time I was 14 or 15, I'd had not only piano lessons, but some instruction on the oboe and the double bass as well. But my appalling laziness about practicing prevented me from achieving any real competence, despite my great love of the music itself. I loved the music of my parents. I'm still very happy to listen to a Corelli oboe concerto or a Gilbert and Sullivan operetta, but my passion became all the non-classical music I was hearing from American sources. I loved the bebop of Charlie Parker and his contemporaries and modern jazz of all kinds, and ended up with an extensive record collection in that field. I loved the folk music of Woody Guthrie, Cisco Houston, Leadbelly, Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee, and so on, and I went to Dobell's record shop in the Charing Cross Road to buy what I now realize must have been bootleg acetates of all that wonderful music. And I loved R&B and blues. My curiosity about America itself, a miraculous land of plenty from our point of view, both materially and artistically, was matched only by my love for its music. So I got my first guitar and learned a few chords. I met my friend Gordon Waller at Westminster School in London, and he loved much of the same music and knew a couple more chords than I did. We started singing together, playing pubs and clubs and coffee houses, calling ourselves, it sounds odd now, Gordon and Peter. Eventually, we got a fancier gig late at night in this eating and drinking club called The Pickwick. And while we were playing there one night, a man in a very shiny suit came up to us and introduced himself as Norman Newell, an A&R, artist and repertoire, manager for EMI Records, and asked us if we would come and do an audition at EMI Studios in Abbey Road in the St. John's Wood section of London. We were thrilled to death, as one might imagine. We went there several days later, recorded a few songs, and awaited the results. Fortunately and joyfully, the result was that they offered us a contract. We signed it, of course. Norman told us that he had booked some studio musicians and had reserved Studio 2 at EMI for a date about a month in the future, and he started to talk about which songs we should record. He had picked some songs already from our Pickwick Club set and was talking to a couple of songwriters. But he also said, look, if you know of any other good songs that might be right for you to arrange and record, please let me know. We're interested in some new songs as well as the ones you're already doing. Oh, and by the way, we are changing your name to Peter and Gordon because we think it sounds better. Who was I?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?